The Cornell Lab of Ornithology describes the bald eagle cry as high, weak-sounding, and whiny. No doubt we can look past the less-than-majestic voice of our national bird. In the winter months ahead, we're checking in on Wisconsin's bald eagle nesting population here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Have you noticed the resurgence of bald eagles where you live? Have you seen them flying around in your area or nesting in nearby trees, hunting on the lakes near your home? We're at 800-642-1234. Debbie Nowak is director and a naturalist at 1000 Lakes Environmental Center, a municipally run conservancy of more than 350 acres in Kaukauna. Debbie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me back today.
Well, bald eagles are migrating from Canada to Wisconsin for nesting at the moment. Tell us about what these birds do here during the winter.
Sure. So just to clarify, bald eagles are definitely migrating birds. So they are short distance migrators. But the reason for their migration is really food based. So we're not in their nesting season right now. So they are migrating to find open water so they can find that favorite food source, which happens to be fish. About 90% of the eagle's diet comes from fish. So they are always seeking open water in order to be able to feed. As we all know, things get cold in the wintertime. Our lakes and our rivers are freezing over. So a lot of times they do move so they can find that food source. And lucky for us here in the Fox Valley area of Wisconsin, we have the Fox River that never completely freezes over. So the Fox Valley area becomes a destination for our wintering eagles.
Yeah, so much to their delight, they have a readily available food source even when it gets pretty brutally cold.
Absolutely. We're pretty fortunate here. There is a lot of elevation change in the Fox River. And when I talk the Fox River, I'm talking the lower portion of the Fox. So really, we consider that starting at Lake Winnebago, and then it flows north to the Bay of Green Bay. So on that lower Fox, there is a lot of elevation change, which means there's a lot of current going. There's also a lot of industry on the river, and that industry tends to help keep that water flowing. So once again, as long as our water is not covering over completely in ice, it is really an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord for those eagles. So we will see our eagle population increase quite a bit in the winter time. The population numbers do vary from winter to winter, depending on the conditions. Last year, I think we were about 500 eagles in this lower Fox stretch. Right now, the eagle populations are increasing. Here at our property at Thousand Islands, you can usually see maybe a dozen to 20 eagles if you're going at the right time. So you want to try to aim for the twilight hours. That's when you're going to see them most active. So right around sunrise and right around sunset, you'll get some great eagle sightings.
What is the best way to observe eagles?
So one of the big things to remember is to not disturb the eagle populations while you're observing them. So you're going to want to find a nice spot where you have a view of the river. You're going to want to have some optics with you, a nice pair of binoculars or a spotting scope, something like that, because you do want to you want to view from a distance. So one of the things we want people to avoid is scaring the eagles. So if you see an eagle roosting in a tree, please don't walk right up to that tree. Every time a bird of prey like this has to fly to escape humans, they're wasting energy sources. The winter can be harsh. Even though we have a lot of food here, it's still a lot of cold weather. We want them to be able to use those energy reserves to feed and to maintain their health, not by escaping humans. So always observe from a distance, use binoculars or a spotting scope. Stay kind of quiet. Definitely don't want to be yelling at them. And just wait for that great opportunity instead of creating one.
Debbie, what has led to their comeback in recent decades? Because the 70s were a really difficult time for the eagles, and we've seen such a resurgence.
Absolutely. So just a little bit of a recap. Back in the earlier than the 70s even, we were down to only about 500 nesting pairs of bald eagles, and that's in the continental U.S., so not including Alaska, very, very few mating pairs of eagles. So on the brink of extinction. There are a number of things that have helped that comeback. One of the biggest things is the banning of DDT. Here locally, the banning of PCBs has also had a big impact. There have been a lot of federal regulation that has protected them as well. So you cannot hunt bald eagles. You can't even possess any part of an eagle. If you find an eagle feather, you're not legally allowed to keep that. So with the government protections, with the banning of some of these chemicals that were polluting the environment, and even with a lot of just awareness amongst citizens, really appreciating this bird, becoming aware that a lot of our actions were causing some of the demise of the eagles. And, you know, once people start standing up and speaking up for a species or any issue, really, that helps that ball rolling towards their protections. So it really was a whole lot of things working together to help that come back.
When you look at the banning of those chemicals, how are those chemicals getting into the eagles and making them sick?
Great question. So one of the basic laws of nature that we like to teach about is that there is no such thing as away. You can throw stuff away in your garbage can and it leaves your house, but it doesn't mean it actually ever goes anywhere. And the same thing happens with some of these chemicals that we're using. DDT, once again, as I mentioned, was this wonderful chemical that was invented. You could spray it in your yards along the beaches, and it would get rid of all the mosquitoes, and it would get rid of some of the fear of the diseases that some of these insects were carrying. So people thought it was this great thing. But what we didn't realize at the time was that even though we're getting rid of the mosquitoes and now we don't see this chemical anymore, it's still out there. It's still going somewhere. So a lot of times these chemicals will wash into our waterways, our rivers, our lakes, the oceans, those sorts of things. And what it does is it becomes part of the food chain. So even if you look at the very, very bottom of the food chain, if you're looking at tiny little particles of algae, that algae gets contaminated with the chemical. Is really not a big deal. You know, we don't care all that much about algae as people, you know, so not an issue. But as you move up that food chain and you get small microscopic organisms eating the algae, and then you get, you know, small fish eating those organisms, and then you get bigger fish eating the smaller fish. And all of a sudden, when you look at the top of the food chain, the bald eagle being one of them, by the time the eagle is eating that fish, all the contamination from below that is all accumulated into that fish. So the ones at the top of the food chain are the ones that are affected the most.
Because with it's eagles, infiltrating that whole ecosystem.
Absolutely. And so it was affecting the reproductive system. They were not laying eggs. The eggs weren't hatching. They were breaking. And that was really one of the big things that caused that population to fall.
Debbie Nowak directs a Thousand Islands Environmental Center. It's a conservancy of more than 350 acres in Kakana. We're looking at our state's bald eagle population and how to best observe them, be good stewards of them. Do you think we're doing enough to create natural spaces and an acceptable habitat for eagles? Have you seen more bald eagles around the state in recent years? Are you a bird watcher? Join in at 800-642-1234. Debbie, is bald eagle poaching a problem specifically here in Wisconsin?
You know, I am not a DNR warden, so I can't give you specific statistics. It is not something we hear of a lot. It does happen, I'm sure. One of the biggest threats that we have for eagles right now is a little bit of an unintended consequence, and that's simply lead poisoning. When people are out hunting, even if they're not hunting a bald eagle, their actions can affect the bald eagles and end up killing them. A lot of our hunting ammunition these days is lead-based. And when a hunter, for instance, goes out, legally shoots a deer, sometimes those bullet fragments will be left off in the environment. If it's left in a gut pile, which is very commonly left out in the woods, and an eagle feeds on that gut pile, just the smallest amount of lead is enough to kill an adult bald eagle. So although, you know, outright poaching probably isn't a huge factor in this area, the lead poisoning definitely is.
I want to look at celebrating Eagle Days, which is part of your center's work. How are you working around the pandemic to still hold this event this year?
That has been the million-dollar question these days. So we do hold an Eagle Day celebration on the fourth Saturday of every January. So we will be doing that on January 23rd, this next January. And we will hold it in a pandemic safe way. We are going to be releasing some of those details next week, but I can tell you we're working with the National Eagle Center, who usually brings a live eagle to our event and does some programming. We're going to do virtual programming with them as well, so people can safely view the program from their homes. And then a lot of what we do at the Eagle Day celebration is encouraging people to get outside and view eagles. And thankfully, for us, it is safe to get outside. So you can get outside with your family group. We'll have some volunteers that will kind of point you in the right direction and spend some time viewing the wild eagles that we have here at Thousand Islands.
You know, besides where you are in the Fox River area, where are some other great places to spot eagles in our state?
So if you are looking in, you know, the spring, summer, fall, really anywhere throughout the state, there are eagles and even occupied eagle nests in almost every single county of the state. So you can really go anywhere, find some water, bring some binoculars, and you'll find some. In the wintertime, you want to seek out that open water. The Fox River area, southwestern Wisconsin is also good viewing near the Mississippi River. So you definitely want to find those open water sources to find the eagles in the wintertime.
Bald eagles, they are doing well. We have Debbie Nowak, who is our guide to bald eagles, and she directs the Thousand Islands Environmental Center in Kakana. Have you seen more bald eagles around the state in recent years? Are you a bird watcher? Do you plan to attend virtual events like Eagle Days or Bald Eagle Watching Days in Prairie du Sac next month? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about bald eagles and how best to observe them. Have you watched bald eagles along the lower Wisconsin River? Do you have photographs you're proud of? What can you share about eagles in your area? It's 800-642-1234. Debbie Nowak of 1000 Islands Environmental Center in Kakana is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Denny, who is joining us from Ogdensburg. Hi, Denny.
Good morning. Thanks for the show. A couple points. I live in Waupaca County, love the eagles, and I'm an outdoorsman, paddler, hunter, fisherman, and I see them regularly. It's not a surprise. Obviously, they feed on a lot of car-killed deer and other things, but we have mature eagles and immature eagles paddling the Flambeau last fall. Watched a pair of geese and their young hiding under an overextended limb over the river, and here was an eagle eyeing them for lunch if they decided to come out.
Oh, boy.
Interesting to watch. But my question is anybody talking about 30 for 30, setting 30% of the land and wilderness aside by 2030 for the betterment of humans and eagles and other species?
Denny, thank you.
Oh, thanks for the question, Denny. As far as the 30 for 30 goes, that is something a little out of our jurisdiction here at the Nature Center. That would be an excellent question for the DNR, though. If you look on the DNR's website under Eagles, there is a great contact there that you can reach out and check that out. But I am not familiar with that program here.
Debbie, let's look more about your environmental center covering, you know, 350 acres, trails, a lot of options there to be able to be in nature. How are you preserving your conservancy and making sure that it's the best habitat it can be for eagles and other birds?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things is the fact that this property has actually been set aside as conservancy zone. That means, you know, the city can't decide next year to sell it and subdivide it and build houses, that sort of thing. So it's been preserved, very similar to that, what it sounds like that 30 for 30 is we really just need to make sure we have designated property to remain natural habitat that supports our natural environment, it supports our wildlife, and all of that in turn supports us as a society as well. So that's our biggest thing. Other things that we are doing, We work with a lot of different organizations in order to kind of study what's going on in the environment. We've been working with a local university, Lawrence University, studying our bat populations here. We're partnering with Madison Audubon Society to study, you know, the eagle nests here as well. So partnering with those other organizations, giving a place to do research has been very beneficial. And then our overall goal, or I should say one of our overall goals, is to try to really preserve natural ecosystems. Thousand Islands, like a lot of different natural areas, is, you know, threatened with invasive species. We have a lot of buckthorn on the property. We have a lot of garlic mustard. We have some new ones coming in, like barberry and phragmites. So we're really trying to think outside of the box and find creative ways to battle these invasive species to preserve that native habitat that we should have here along the Fox River.
You mentioned the Madison Audubon Society and working with them on a bald eagle nest monitoring project. What is this about?
So this is something that is brand new for us, and it'll be starting in 2021. But Madison Audubon, back in 2018, started working with the DNR, and they do citizen science projects. So they recruit volunteers, and all these volunteers get assigned with a known eagle nest in the area. Those volunteers will go out about once a week during their nesting season. So really thinking February through June, and keep an eye on the nest to look for activity. Are the eagles building on the nest? Are the eagles sitting on eggs? Can we see any of the eaglets in the nest? You know, when do they fledge? The DNR only has so many staff members, so relying on volunteers to gather this data has been great. So this year, we are expanding to the Fox Valley area. This week, we just went and did some scouting, and we are thinking we are going to be monitoring probably around 9 nests in the area here, just to help gather that data on, you know, how many of these eagles are successful in their nesting season.
How many might be in that nest? You know, what is that nest like?
So the nests are actually quite impressive. If you've ever seen a bald eagle nest, they can be 4 to 5 feet across, 4 to 5 feet deep, and they get bigger each year. So they're really, really massive nests. They are used year after year, as long as it's a safe and successful location for those eagles. And then they are laying eggs around here, usually about March, early to mid-March, and they will lay 1 to 3 eggs. And then we hope they'll have, you know, 1 to 3 eaglets that will eventually grow to fledge or take that first flight out of the nest. It's a hard life out there in the wild, though. So even if you have 3 eggs hatch, you don't necessarily have 3 eaglets that make it to, you know, juveniles to fly out of the nest. And then even if they get out of the nest, there's a 70% mortality rate for raptors in their first year. So it's a hard life. So the more we can do to understand it and protect them, the better off we are.
Well, it's good to hear that they're not having to rebuild their nests over and over, if possible. You know, what do they make their nests out of?
The majority of the nest is built out of sticks, and then they will line that with grasses, moss, whatever soft materials they can find.
So when you're looking at your trail maintenance at a Thousand Islands Environmental Center, what goes into that? How do you maintain your trails and certainly keep people on them?
You know, one of the biggest things is relying on volunteers to help us with that. I just met with a couple of volunteers yesterday that they're going to work on clearing out a portion of our trail from some of the buckthorn. We are a very small staff here, so we only have right now, we only have 3 staff members, 4 when we're fully staffed. So we do rely on volunteers a lot to do that. And as I mentioned before, we rely on creativity a little bit. One of the ways that we've been tackling buckthorn and other invasives in the past couple of years is we have been bringing goats onto the property. Goats
yes.
will come out and eat all of the vegetation, and we do this repeatedly. And by eating the vegetation down multiple times, we'll eventually kind of get rid of the energy source in their root system, and those plants will die back enough for our native plants to grow.
We're talking with Debbie Nowak, who's a naturalist, heads up a Thousand Islands Environmental Center. We're discussing the success of the bald eagle population in Wisconsin, where we go from here in terms of conservation and habitat. So, Debbie, those goats are really helping you keep some of that non-native vegetation in check.
It is. Yeah, we have a small little, we call it our test area, where we're experimenting with this method. And in this small area, it's been working really well. not only to help battle those invasive species, but it really is helping to spread awareness and education because everybody loves coming down to see the goats. And while they're here, we can throw a little information their way and they understand a little bit more about the importance of having native vegetation versus all of the invasive stuff here.
You know, the city of Kaukauna is an official bird city. What does that mean? And how can other communities become, you know, better stewards of birds?
Sure. So yeah, we're very proud of our Bird City designation. Many people are probably familiar with Tree City USA if your community, you know, does a lot of good things for trees. This is kind of modeled after that. So to be a Bird City, you have to meet certain criteria that you are creating sustainable and proper habitat to support our bird populations. So the fact that we have our 350-acre conservancy zone here is a huge, huge part of that. Our Eagle Day celebration is our annual educational event that we do for that. So a lot of things go into it. You know, Bird City is a great opportunity for, once again, to have some of these ideas visible to the general public. The more people are aware, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, if I plant some native wildflowers in my backyard, that's going to be a lot better for the birds and the habitat than if I have all grass in my backyard. So just kind of getting those ideas out there. And the more people understand the concept behind this of creating and preserving habitat, for birds, the better off we're going to be. And we love it when people get excited about seeing the birds. Mm. So as we encourage people to, you know, have bird-friendly backyards, attend events, come birding down on the property, the more you know, the more you're going to love them. The more you love them, the more you're going to protect them.
Debbie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Debbie Nowak, the 1000 Islands Environmental Center, a conservancy of more than 350 acres in Kaukauna. Just ahead, we examine homelessness around our state amid the pandemic and what outreach is making headway with this problem. We talk with three people who work on trying to remedy homelessness every day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.